Welcome. The following presentation from Answers in CME is part of an educational activity titled Finding Balance with Biologic and Small Molecule Systemic Therapies in the Management of Moderate to Severe Atopic Dermatitis. To access the full program and supporting materials, visit www.answersincme.com/VSF860. This activity is supported by an educational grant from Sanofi Genzyme and Regeneron Pharmaceuticals.
Hi, I'm Dr. Elaine Siegfried. I'm a pediatric dermatologist at St. Louis University and Cardinal Glenn and Children's Hospital. About 50% of my patients have atopic dermatitis. This is a demanding disease, and it's one that can be very difficult to manage. And the unmet need is for safe, effective, and well-tolerated treatment. Off-label immunomodulating small molecules have been used for decades to treat moderate to severe atopic dermatitis. Of those, cyclosporin and methotrexate are probably used the most, cyclosporin because it has a rapid onset of reduction in itch and inflammation, methotrexate because it's probably considered a little bit safer, more immunomodulatory than immunosuppressive. But typically, it takes at least 3 to 4 months to just begin to kick in. And I think these drugs work well, but there's a variety of adverse effects that need to be recognized and patients need to be counseled about. Dupilumab is a biologic that's now FDA approved to treat moderate to severe atopic dermatitis all the way down to age 6 with ongoing phase 3 trials down to 6 months. There's strong data now supporting this FDA approval. So itch improves first, and that really eases the burden. And then over time, everything else gets better, including the other atopic morbidities. That's been one of the most rewarding things about treating patients with targeted Th2 biologic therapy. One of the disadvantages is that there's a lot of people who certainly are hesitant to use subcutaneous dosed medication, especially in young children. I have to say most people get used to that over time. Let's talk about some of the advantages and disadvantages of these emerging therapies. Lebrikizumab and tralokizumab. Unlike dupilumab, these agents are blocking the circulating cytokine, the circulating IL-13. There's advantages to that because it's a little bit narrower, only impacts IL-13 availability, but blocking IL-13 may have other kinds of downstream impact in terms of decoy receptor activity. For all type 2 biologics, there's theoretical efficacy for all atopic morbidities. But we don't really know about more potent blockage of that pathway and whether or not, for example, it can give you adverse effects like triggering psoriasis. The first JAK inhibitors on the market are less selective. The newer ones, abrocitinib, baricitinib, and upadacitinib, these molecules have quick onset of action. They're likely to be effective for not only atopic dermatitis, but psoriasis as well. The other advantage of using JAK inhibitors is that they're enteral. So what could be the disadvantages? There's a much broader impact on immune function. And so with that, there's increased risk of infections and cancer. In this next section, we're going to discuss the latest safety data for available and emerging systemic therapies used in treating patients with moderate to severe atopic dermatitis. Let's compare the safety of some of the options that we use to treat atopic dermatitis. So with methotrexate, the most common one is gastrointestinal disturbances, abdominal pain, and nausea. Hepatotoxicity is what everyone worries about, and certainly have to do lab monitoring for that. Headaches and fatigue are reported. Cyclosporin is a broader immunosuppressant, and certainly there's increased risk for infection. There's other well-known toxicities, renal toxicity, hepatotoxicity, and hypertrichosis and gingival hypertrophy that come with long-term use. Dupilumab has been a wonderfully safe choice. The two adverse effects that we see the most often, which is still in the minority of patients, is conjunctivitis, occurring about 10% of patients across the board in the clinical trials, and maybe recognizing a little bit more in post-marketing analysis. It's not just conjunctivitis. Ocular surface disease in pooled data was about 8%, but in the real world use, the prevalence may be as high as 25, 26%. The facial redness wasn't reported in the early phase 3 trials, but in the real world, it may be as high as 10%. We don't exactly understand what causes this, and it's probably a phenotype. Probably one of the most common is allergic contact dermatitis. And there's a variety of allergens that haven't been really well recognized or well described. There's also a kind of a psoriasis-like facial erythema. Some people think it's triggered by malassezia, for example. The other concern that's really, really rare is hypersensitivity reactions. What about adverse effects of the emerging systemic therapies, like the biologic agents? Lebrikizumab and tralokizumab, both IL-13 binders. We know that there's infection site reactions. We don't know the relative risk of conjunctivitis and ocular surface disease compared to dupilumab. Regarding JAK inhibitors, I think safety is what's in the front of everybody's mind. It looks like efficacy is going to be wonderful for these drugs. But JAK inhibitors are much like calcineurin inhibitors, like tacrolimus and like cyclosporin, is that they're intracellular signaling molecules. So in that regard, they have a much greater impact on immune function. In terms of the newer, more selective JAK inhibitors, some nausea, nasopharyngitis, a risk of upper respiratory tract infections, for upadacitinib, worsening acne is something that's been reported. So in summary, I think that the biologics that target type 2 Th2 immunity are likely safer than drugs that inhibit Janus kinase, the JAK inhibitors. But the molecules that have the narrower JAK inhibition may be safer than the broader JAK inhibitors that are now commercially available. In the next section, we're going to discuss patient, disease, and drug factors that can inform selection and use of systemic treatments. How do you pick patients that you want to transition from topical therapy to systemic therapy? Adults and children who remain symptomatic despite their best capability of following basic management recommendations for skincare, those are the patients that need systemic therapy. How do you choose the best systemic therapy per patient? Well, you do have to consider their associated morbidities. For patients who have significant atopic morbidities like asthma, rhinitis, you know, eosinophilic gut disease and poor growth, those are the patients that I consider the best candidates for type 2 immunity blocking agents. Patients who have baseline ocular surface disease like conjunctivitis or other inflammatory conditions may not be great candidates for targeted Th2 blockade. I think it's important to screen, particularly children, for frequent infections. Some of these have undefined primary immune deficiencies that are probably, again, helped by a drug like dupilumab and others that specifically target Th2 imbalance. But these may not be patients who are good patients for example, JAK inhibition or cyclosporin. Pregnancy potential is something that's really important to consider. Methotrexate's not a great medicine for females of childbearing years, but dupilumab may be a drug that's tolerated in pregnancy. Obesity has a big impact with regards to adverse effects and appropriate dosing. So taking into consideration body mass index can help you pick the right treatment. And then finally, one of the biggest impact factors is just cost and access. Even though we have our best recommendations, sometimes the cost is prohibitive and insurance companies have step edits that don't allow access to medication. So in summary, I think it's important for all of us who take care of patients with moderate to severe atopic dermatitis to recognize when these patients get beyond topical therapy. In the next section, we're going to provide some perspective on key considerations for systemic therapies that are of most importance to patients.
Hello, I'm Hope Wells. My daughter Maud is 8 years old, and she's had eczema since she was an infant. She had rashes all over her body, but it was worse on her fingers and feet. The constant itching was a huge problem for her. She was always scratching and had open wounds in those places, though never any major infections. The itching kept her up at night. At times, it felt like we had a newborn again. We would get her down, and then she'd be up again. It was really hard. School has always been particularly uncomfortable for her. It was even worse when they had classes outside because her allergies would flare up, making her even more uncomfortable. In the fall of 2020, Dr. Siegfried first mentioned dupilumab. She explained how the children going through the clinical trials were like different kids after they started treatment with dupilumab. We didn't know if our insurance would cover it, so we got really strict with her skincare regimen, but we knew that dupilumab was an option if that wasn't enough. Dr. Siegfried explained how when she sees a kid who really benefits from the drug, she's seeing a whole family that's being helped by it. We were at our wits' end and so desperate, but her confidence in the treatment really helped us feel like maybe there was an answer. Dr. Siegfried told us upfront that it would take 4 months for the benefits to come into full effect, but we were shocked by how quickly Maud started to get better. Dr. Siegfried also explained that conjunctivitis is a common side effect with dupilumab treatment and that Maud might experience this because she has allergies that tend to affect her eyes. We were concerned about that, but she's been on dupilumab for 4 months now and we haven't seen anything so far. Now that she isn't constantly itching, Maud is much more focused at school and has become an incredible reader. She goes to sleep every night without any issue, which we'd never had before. After her bath or shower, she puts on her own Vaseline. Before, she wouldn't do that because her skin was so sensitive that she didn't even want to touch it. But now that she's healed, she will do it by herself. So it's really cool to see Maud taking ownership of her own health. My advice to parents who are considering this kind of treatment would be to ask about what to expect and about side effects. It was also nice that Dr. Siegfried talked directly to Maud about what she was feeling and experiencing and explained how confident she was that Maud would start to feel better. Having a doctor who fully understood what we were going through as a family was so helpful in showing us this was the right choice for Maud. We felt like we were all on the same team to help Maud get better. I would tell any family that this treatment has changed our lives. It feels like we have a whole new kid who is just more completely herself.
Let's discuss some strategies and practical considerations about how to monitor and manage patients who are on systemic therapy. With methotrexate, there's a lot of pharmacogenetic variability. And so for some people, it just doesn't work well. For most people, it does, but it can be very dose dependent. It's dosed once a week. It's mostly dosed orally, but you do need interval lab monitoring. The GI side effects can really be mitigated with judicious use of folic acid. Cyclosporine is a broad immunosuppressant. It requires twice daily dosing and frequent lab monitoring long-term, at least every month. When I decide to start someone on dupilumab, safety is probably the best reason to pick a drug like this. Dupilumab doesn't need lab monitoring, but conjunctivitis is the one adverse effect that people are concerned about. One of the things that you can do to really mitigate against that adverse effect is to partner with an ophthalmologist for good care, and certainly good eye hygiene. The other adverse effect that we see sometimes is worsening dermatitis that most often affects the face. So when that happens, there's a lot of different considerations. I personally think allergic contact dermatitis is the most common trigger. So you just ask about their products that they're using and you eliminate some of the most common allergens. JAK inhibitors. It's going to take some time to really understand the safety of these drugs. I think there's possible long-term impact on immune development and immune function. The safety communication that just came out in February in 2021 on tofacitinib really warned about an increased risk of serious heart-related problems and cancer for tofacitinib compared to the TNF inhibitors. So it's really something that we have to be vigilant about before we incorporate. The good news about JAK inhibitors is that there's a rapid response. It's going to have a rapid impact on quality of life. Until very recently, clinicians weren't acutely aware of the big spectrum of disease that's suffered by people with atopic dermatitis and then the need for more than just topical therapy. The pipeline is finally incredibly robust. And in the long run, we're going to have much more specific types of medications that we can tailor treatment to the specific patient. And I think we're going to have a lot more success in treating this unmet medical need.
Thank you for listening. Please visit www.answersincme.com/VSF860 to view all program materials, complete the post-test, and get a certificate.